Hello students, I'm Mrs. Anjalika Sen from ACS 5, Mumbai. I'm back with the last module of Respiration in Life Processes. Let us move to slide number 1. In the slide number 1, we are going to talk about the mechanism of breathing. You are seeing two diagrams over there where we can see the lung, we can see the ribs, we can see the diagram, and we can see air entering the lungs and air expelled from the lungs. I will explain the process of or the mechanism of breathing through these diagrams. Now, we know breathing is a physical process. We have already talked about it, and it is a physical process of taking in air and giving out air. Taking in air is also called as inspiration or inhalation. And giving out air is called as expiration or exhalation. Or we simply say air taken in is inhaling air and air given out is exhaling air. So now we will see how we inhale and how we exhale air. When we want to take in air, we will see that the intercostal muscles will contract and the ribs will be pulled up and out. At the same time, the diaphragm, which is dome shaped, will contract and flatten. To understand this better, children, put your hand on your chest and take a deep breath. What do you notice? Don't you notice that your chest is moving upward and outward? Yes, this is happening because the ribs, they are being pulled up and out. And what is happening to the diaphragm? As I told you, it contracts and flattens. When this happens during inhalation, the chest cavity becomes larger. And when the chest cavity becomes larger, the volume inside the lung increases. Whenever there is an increase in volume, what will happen to the pressure? It will decrease. So the volume of in the lung increases, causing the pressure in the lungs to decrease. And when this happens, air is sucked in through the nostril and it fills the lungs and fills the alveolar sacs. This is what is happening during inhalation. Now the reverse will happen when we breathe out or during exhalation. Now again, you can keep your hand, take a deep breath on your chest, take a deep breath, you feel your ribs, your chest is moving up and out, and when you breathe out, you will feel your chest moving in and down. This is exactly what is happening, the reverse. When we are breathing out or exhaling air, the intercostal muscles of the in between the ribs will relax, and when they relax, the ribs will move in and down, inward and downward, returning to their original position. The diaphragm will also relax and move back to its original dome shape. When this happens, it will move back to its original dome shape. The ribs will move in and down, coming back to its original position. So the volume inside the lung will reduce because it will come back to its original position. So the volume inside the lung will reduce, and so the pressure inside the lung will be increased. That increase in pressure will cause the air to be pushed or expelled out from the lungs. This is how we are inhaling and exhaling. So we will quickly recapitulate this. When we inhale, the ribs will be pulled out and up. The diaphragm will contract and flatten. The volume inside the chest cavity will become large, or the volume will increase. The pressure inside the lung will decrease, causing the air to be sucked in through our nostrils. Reverse happens when we breathe out. The ribs will move in and down, coming back to their original position. The diaphragm will relax, going back to its original dome shape. And this will reduce the volume inside the lung, thus increasing the pressure inside. And this increased pressure inside will push the air or expel the air out of the lungs once again. This is the mechanism of breathing. Breathing is inhalation and exhalation. We move to slide number 2, and in slide number 2 we are going to see how exchange of gases takes place in the human being. We know that air enters the lung and reaches the alveoli, and the alveoli is the site where exchange of gases takes place. And alveoli are surrounded by, or they have an extensive blood vascular system around them. Now, what happens is, when air enters, there you can see a figure, children, showing an alveolus which has got inhaled air, and the alveolus is surrounded by a blood capillary. Now, the alveolus has air which has been inhaled, which has a higher concentration of oxygen and a low concentration of carbon dioxide compared to the blood that is traveling through that, passing through that capillary, where concentration of oxygen will be less and concentration of carbon dioxide will be much more. Why? Because oxygen has been used up. So carbon dioxide has been brought from the tissues to this blood capillary so that it can be exchanged and sent out of the body. Now, we look at the concentration gradient. Concentration of oxygen in the alveolar air is high. Concentration of oxygen in the blood capillary is low. So, the oxygen will rush out from the alveolar sac into the blood capillary by diffusion, and it is across the concentration gradient from a higher concentration to a lower concentration. Same thing will happen in carbon dioxide, but reverse, because concentration of carbon dioxide in the blood capillary is high, concentration of carbon dioxide in the alveoli air is low. So carbon dioxide will move out from the blood capillary into the alveolar sac across the concentration gradient. So we see oxygen moves into the blood from the alveolus, and carbon dioxide moves out of the blood into the alveolus. And this is how the exchange is taking place. Now this blood will move from the lung, go to the different parts of the body. Again over there, oxygen is more in the blood, so it will go into the tissue. Carbon dioxide is more in the tissue, so it will come back in the blood, and it will return to the lung for this exchange to take place. Now this exchange is taking place every time we are inhaling, and again when we are exhaling, carbon dioxide rich air is given out. But we see that we breathe in and out, that is exhale and inhale, rather inhale and exhale, very quickly. So like maximum oxygen cannot be absorbed. So for maximum oxygen to be absorbed, there is something which we call as residual volume of air remains in the lungs. That means after exhalation also, there is certain amount of air that remains in the lung that is called as the residual volume of air. And this is so that there is sufficient time for maximum oxygen to be absorbed and carbon dioxide to be released. So even though we are inhaling and exhaling quickly, always there is a certain amount of residual volume of air in the lungs so that maximum oxygen can be absorbed and carbon dioxide can be released. We move to slide number 3 now, children, and we are going to see how this oxygen that is absorbed by the blood is transported to the different parts of the body. Diffusion does take place in the unicellular organisms, but in large multicellular organisms, diffusion alone cannot deliver oxygen to all parts of the body. So, the oxygen has to be carried by a respiratory pigment, and that respiratory pigment will take up oxygen from the air that is in the lungs, and it will carry it to the tissues where there is deficiency of oxygen, and it will release it over there. This respiratory pigment is called as hemoglobin, and it is red in color, and that is why it gives the typical red color to our blood. And this hemoglobin is found in the RBC, or the red blood corpuscle, or the red blood cell. Hemoglobin has a very high affinity for oxygen, and the moment it comes in contact with oxygen, it will combine with oxygen to form oxyhemoglobin in the alveolar air, and it will transport the oxygen to the various parts of the body. Looking at hemoglobin has a heme part and a globin part. And though we are not going to talk about the structure of hemoglobin, we can just understand that one heme can carry 4 oxygen molecules. So one hemoglobin will combine to form oxyhemoglobin. Now imagine a car traveling from point A to point B. That car takes 4 people from point A, moves to point B, and at point B, it is the 4 people will get off, and then the car will come back to point A once again. This is exactly what is happening. At the lungs, hemoglobin will combine with oxygen to form oxyhemoglobin. That will travel all the way to different parts of the body. And in the tissues where oxygen is required, oxyhemoglobin will release the oxygen and become hemoglobin once again. The oxygen will be given to the tissues. This is how oxygen travels from the lungs to the various parts of the body with the help of the respiratory pigment called hemoglobin that combines with oxygen to form oxyhemoglobin. Let us now go to slide number 4, where we see hemoglobin and carbon dioxide. What is the combination there? Now the hemoglobin has taken oxygen and gone to the tissues, and at the tissues it has released the oxygen. The carboxyhemoglobin reaches the tissues. Oxygen is given to the tissues because tissue is deficient of oxygen. Now the heme is free again. So that hemoglobin will take 4 carbon dioxide molecules over there. So hemoglobin will combine with carbon dioxide at the tissue to form carbaminohemoglobin. And it will carry the carbaminohemoglobin back to the alveoli, where it will be exhaled and removed from the body. Going back to our example, in the first case, the car went from point A, took 4 people, point A to point B. At point B, the 4 people stepped out, and 4 new people sat in the car and travelled back to point A in the same car. This is exactly what is happening. Hemoglobin in the alveoli takes the oxygen, combines to form oxyhemoglobin, carries the oxyhemoglobin to the tissue. The tissue is deficient of oxygen. The oxygen is given to the tissue. Oxyhemoglobin becomes oxygen and hemoglobin. So oxygen is given to the tissue. The hemoglobin is free once again. The tissue has got a high concentration of carbon dioxide because the carbon dioxide is the waste from all the activities that have taken place, and that carbon dioxide combines with hemoglobin, forms carbaminohemoglobin, and it travels back as carbaminohemoglobin to come back to the alveoli, and then again it is expelled from the body or exhaled from the body. But carbon dioxide does not travel only in this manner. Carbon dioxide is more soluble in water than oxygen is, and that's why it is mostly transported in the dissolved form in the plasma, or it may also simply be transported as bicarbonates. So we see how transport of carbon dioxide takes place. Carbon dioxide is transported from the body cells back to the lungs in 3 ways. You can see over there. One is bicarbonate, which is about 70%. 2 is carbaminohemoglobin, which is about 23%, and 3 is dissolved in the plasma, which is about 7%. So this is how hemoglobin brings back carbon dioxide to the alveoli, and also carbon dioxide comes back as bicarbonate or in the dissolved form in the plasma. Lastly, we see how carbon dioxide, we go to slide number 5, and we see how hemoglobin and carbon monoxide will react. Definitely under normal conditions, we do not inhale carbon monoxide. But carbon monoxide is a dangerous, colorless, odorless gas that is produced whenever there is incomplete combustion of say wood or incomplete combustion of something. Instead of carbon dioxide forming, carbon monoxide is formed. So in that condition, if we are in the vicinity of where incomplete combustion is taking place, we inhale that carbon monoxide from, say, motor vehicles, from heaters, even in, you know, from small coal fires that are burning or smoldering rather. Now, when there is carbon monoxide, hemoglobin has got about 210 times more affinity to combine with carbon monoxide as compared to oxygen or even carbon dioxide. So what will happen is, when this carbon monoxide fume is inhaled unknowingly, because we are not getting the smell, it is odorless, it is invisible, it is colorless. So when we are inhaling this carbon monoxide, it will dissolve through the alveoli into the blood, and it will combine, carbon monoxide will combine with hemoglobin to form carboxyhemoglobin. And this carboxyhemoglobin is a super stable compound. That means the heme will under no circumstance release the carbon monoxide. In, for example, let us go back to the example with the car. The car at point A takes 4 passengers, reaches point B, but the 4 passengers are not ready to get off. So the car comes back with those same 4 passengers to point A and then point B and point A, but the 4 passengers are not getting off the car. So now we see, similarly, carbon monoxide will combine with hemoglobin to form carboxyhemoglobin, and it forms a super stable or an ultra stable compound, which is called as carboxyhemoglobin. That means carbon monoxide plus hemoglobin will form carboxyhemoglobin. And this is so stable that the heme will in no circumstance release that carbon monoxide. So what will happen? Again and again, if a heme gets bound with carbon monoxide, the oxygen carrying capacity of the blood will reduce. You can see in that figure over there, there is the RBC having hemoglobin, having oxygen and having carbon dioxide. So the hemoglobin is alternatingly combining with carbon dioxide and oxygen. But the moment carbon monoxide comes, it does not combine with oxygen or carbon dioxide, but combines with carbon monoxide, forming carboxyhemoglobin, and it will not break up. The heme will not release the carbon monoxide. This is an extremely dangerous condition, and because of this, we should never sleep in a closed room with a small coal fire burning, because if there is incomplete combustion, definitely carbon monoxide is being formed. This is what is called as carbon monoxide poisoning. So children, in this module, we learnt about the mechanism of breathing. We learnt how exchange is taking place, how oxygen and carbon dioxide is getting exchanged in the alveoli. And we also studied about the respiratory pigment hemoglobin, how it carries oxygen, forming oxyhemoglobin, how it carries carbon dioxide, forming carb amino hemoglobin, and how it forms an irreversible combination, forming a super stable compound, carboxyhemoglobin with carbon monoxide. The heme doesn't want to release the carbon monoxide, and this is a situation where we call it as a carbon monoxide poisoning. With this, children, we come to the end of the final module number 3. This ends the lesson, respiration of life processes. Thank you.